greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here around the world on WWRB 3.185. And we're glad to have you in here with us tonight. Got a great continuous message here tonight in part five of the PMS of the serpent seed. We're going to explore tonight in perhaps maybe the final part of the PMS series that we're doing here. We're going to try to cover a whole lot of ground because I'm going to try to condense this into the final episode of this particular series, and then perhaps we can start a new series. However, we'll just follow the Spirit, and whatever the Spirit decides to do, that we'll do. We're going to go to the rebellious people of the earth. We're going to start with what influences people to be rebellious. And then we're going to go into the deceit of the nations, how they were deceived, who deceived them, what power, evil power, is working in man, not only in man, but in the system. You know, the Bible said the rulers of this world, the rulers of darkness, they sit in high places and they love the chief seats, and the Bible talks about that they love the riches and the power that goes with control. Now, we talked about the controlling factor in part one. I'd like to end this series with the showing you the seed as it came forth and as it went through its endurance down to the present age of where we stand in the last days. It is written, "Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring thee forth a fire from the midst of thee." Now, that's an interesting word right there. The fire is going to start from the midst of the evil. "It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more." Ezekiel chapter 28, and I read verses 18 and 19. Notice this scripture to give you a little gestalt. It says, "For the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Now, bruise Satan, Romans 16 and 20. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever." Revelations 20 and 10. Now, the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, this is a preparation for the fire that's going to start from the midst of them. And, you know, spontaneous combustion, that's one of the things that brings forth fire. And it's something that is amazing to think about, something that can burn up within and have its meaning and purpose to destroy from within. Now, think about that. A destruction from within the enemy's camp. And by that, I mean that Yahweh is going to set up this great Babylonian system that we're under their thumbnail, basically. We can't buy, we can't sell, we can't actually live and exist without being under this Babylonian system. Now, the money changers, let's talk about a little bit about money changers. The Bible said that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, if that's true, then we have basically a money changer. changing system called Babylon that's going to have to fall. Now, how did this great sin of Genesis 3:15 come into being? Well, we told you that the physical and the mental and the spiritual assault that Satan, the great deceiver, the shining one, how he took advantage of the weak vessel, Eve, and used her womb to bring forth a seed that would defile all of the earth. And we know that the heavens has been cleansed of Satan, and he's been removed never to return. Isn't that wonderful that we could live somewhere without the effects of evil? It's one of the most evil things to think about, evil, but if you spell evil backwards, you've got something entirely different. And it's most amazing to know the difference between light and darkness, between the way that is right as opposed to the way that seems right. And the church world today has got so involved in traditional deception of a seem-right way that they've almost taken the truth of the gospel and cast it to the ground, and they're prospering. Superflotation. That word, let me spell it for you, and you can write it down, and maybe you'd like to go to a dictionary to look it up. It's S-U-P-E-R-T-E-L or T-E-T-A-T-I-O-N. Superflotation. It's a word that in the Latin is digeus, which means twins, showing marked difference in size, embryonical development, and presumed age or born of different fathers. The best known of recent cases, and I'm going to cite you some, happened in two or three places, and I'll just cite you some. In Stockholm, Sweden, Mrs. Borger Jolene gave birth on the same day to a black baby, and a white, blonde, blue-eyed baby came from her womb as twins. Her husband refused to take financial responsibility for the child, which clearly was not his, because she was married to a white man. And she had a black baby along with a white, blue-eyed baby that favored the father, of course, kind after kind. But in this case, there were two kinds in the superflotation of her womb. And we talked about the veil of the womb. We talked about Eve having her veil removed, and Satan moved into the holiest of holies by veil, the route of the sperm, which is the blood. And the Bible says life is in the blood. So here is a perfect example of superflotation of a woman giving birth to two seeds, one black and one white. Now, after he refused in supporting the black baby, because he was white himself, she took him to court. And in the trial, she admitted to having a black lover. On the same day that she had known both men and conceived by these men, admitted in court, of course, that was a landmark case in Sweden where the father of the white child who was married and responsibilities did not have to pay for the support of the black child, because the black man was brought into court and he had to pay for his child. Out of the same womb, the same mother, with two different fathers, superflotation, marked twins, of two different bloodlines. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what happened in the beginning of the experiment with Adam. And ladies and gentlemen, there were other people or other races in the earth when Adam was brought forth. And you may not believe that because most people think that because it says that in the beginning, God did this and God did that, and then God brought Adam. But Adam is a transplant from another planet or another a star system, let's say. He was not of this world, and the Bible indicates that you're not of this world if you belong to this particular bloodline, and Satan needs to be brought to court for introducing superflotation, meaning that he brought Eve into a situation to compromise her, and knowing her, he placed his sperm, his blood, and then he got out of dodge, so to speak. Now, here comes Yahweh walking into the garden, and he realizes something has happened. Did he know from the very beginning that something would happen? Well, let's read a few scriptures here to indicate that he probably knew what was going to happen according to the Word. We're going over to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to the 14th chapter, and we're going to talk about superflotation for just a moment, and then I'll cite you some more cases to prove our point here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? Now, the word Lucifer is a Italian, Latin word. It means phosphorus, or bright one, or shining one. And so we'll use the word Lucifer in this case to indicate that he was a shining light. And he overcome Eve and captivated her and got her attention and lay with her. Now, there, if you want to accept the world message, she just ate some kind of a fruit that Satan very skillfully pointed out. He said, now, go ahead and eat of this tree. It's not going to bother you. And she reached up and she got a piece of fruit, preferably an apple, and she ate it, and then her eyes were open. This magic fruit was the cause of sin and suffering. But like I said last night in the message, the organs that were covered was the sex organ, the one that we used to know each other. And that would be the male penis and the female vagina. Both of these were used in the sin, and the guilt was written upon the participants. Satan has never been addressed directly, except to Yahweh when he addressed him in Genesis 3:15. But he did not address him directly. He addressed him indirectly by speaking to the seed, or the seeds in this case, the superflotation that had brought about this meeting between Eve and Yahweh. And Yahweh told Eve, just like he told Rebecca in the 25th chapter of the book of Genesis, that there were two manners of seed in her belly. The superflotation had actually happened unto Rebecca. That would have been Esau's mother and Jacob's mother. These twins, superflotation, one of the wicked and one of the good. We know that Jacob was of the good seed, and we have proven to you that Isaac was the son of Yahweh offspring from the book of Genesis, chapter 21, verse 1, when Yahweh visited Sarah when she was 90 years old and did unto her, and she conceived. Now, it is my belief that Yahweh overshadowed Abraham's wife, Sarah. And by the overshadowing, as whatever he done to her, he caused her to conceive a child, and this child was the reintroduction from Adam. Knowing that there had to be a replacement, as it is recorded in Seth, and we know also that in the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, that the Bible says that Adam had other daughters and other sons that are not mentioned in the downline. And so then, this is just a close genealogical a line of a production to prove a point that superflotation has happened to various times in the Bible, and it's highlighted for us to know that. How about fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How they're cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. How did he do that? This word nation here is depicted to offspring. Well, he brought in a curse to weaken the flesh to where it once was. It was once appointed to live, and to live forever, by the way. Adam was an eternal being, and he was to live in this great body without aging. There's something mysterious that brings death and aging, and it's called sin. It's a time, it's just like a time clock, a biological time clock that ticks down, and it's once appointed. You got to meet that appointment whenever that time comes, irregardless of how that you try to avoid it. It cannot be avoided. There's no discharge in that war. It's a war of death, and death contains the word eat. Did you ever notice that? If you examine the word death inside, wrapped within that veil of that word is eat, which is, if we think, superimposed over the real definition of the word that should have been in there by the Hebrew account of lay. How have thou weakened the nations? Here's the reason why. Verse 13 of the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend up into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now that word congregation is 4150, and you need to take a look at it in the Strong's. It means I will rule over the day of the Sabbath, that is the day of rest. And the Bible said, take heed lest you fail to enter into his day of rest, which was yesterday in the lunar calendar. It happened, come in on Monday night and went out on Tuesday night, according to the signs in the heavens, by the account that Yahweh gave. Now, of course, we've got those who are superimposing over the truth, just like superflotation, and it is, that's where we get the word flirtation. Satan flirted with Eve and superflotated her womb, pierced her veil, and placed the blood offering upon the Ark of the Covenant in this holy union, and therefore it was a defiled blood offering. Yahweh did not receive it, just like in the natural, when Cain came back in physical form to offer himself back to Yahweh after he had murdered, after he had taken the seed of life. the Son of Yahweh, slain from the foundation of the world, which was Abel, and therefore there had to be a replacement. Yahweh used animals and the blood of animals and goats and things of this nature to showcase or to type or to highlight a substitute until the appointed time that he had made a promise to Adam that he would come and redeem Adam's seed or his downline, which was actually the downline of Yahweh's genetics, because Adam himself was a product of Yahweh. Now, how Yahweh got a son, Adam was the son of God, according to the genealogy downline in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and in the book of Luke, chapter 3. Now, how God got a son before there was ever any female, we don't know. We don't know this great mystery of how Adam was already a son of Yahweh. We don't know where he came from. We do not know his mother, if he had a mother. We don't know that. Those mysteries remain. However, the superflotation in the byproduct of man, which was Eve, she encountered this word, superflotation. Through the flirtation, she succumbed to the wiles of the devil, and he beguiled her, and he violated her veil, her most holy temple, and placed an offering upon the throne, which is known as the Ark of the Covenant, and it was refused because it was the defiled offering, and therefore sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Yahweh himself cursed his own self and made himself a victim to the chess game of the genetics of Satan. And Satan knew that. He knew that Yahweh would have to come off the throne. He knew that he would have to come and incarnate into the earth himself and endure the rigors and the temptations and the wiles and the temptations of Satan. And Satan marveled that he would even consider having to do so. He says, I will exalt my seed. The word throne here is 3678. And it means to that which is the highest order of genetics. I will become the highest order in the heavens. And my seed will serve me, and we will rule the earth with a rod of iron. However, the only antidote that was available, the only option available to the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, was for himself to become a man and to go through as a perfect genetic sacrifice, undefiled, both in body, mind, soul, and spirit. He's the only man that did not suffer from the physical, mental, and the spiritual assault and succumb. He held out till the end when he said, "It is finished." Death, where is thy sting? An old grave, where is thy victory? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Verse 14 of Isaiah 14. I will be like the Most High. But here's Yahweh's word to him through speaking to the seed that was in the womb of Eve. He cursed that seed. By cursing that seed, he cursed the seed that said, I will ascend above the heights. I will exalt my throne or my seed line above Yahweh's seed line. You see, Yahweh's seed line would have forever been servant to, and it's proven on the scriptures that I gave you last night in 1 Peter 3:18 and in Ephesians chapter 4, where he that ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth, and there preached to the souls that were disobedient in the days of Noah. This is the wonderful power that he had to become the God of the living and the dead. He preached both to the living and the dead, left a superflotation of righteousness in the womb of Miriam in the Hebrew, and she only an incubator for the seed of both the male and the female, the chromosomes that was listed there, the X and the Y, was completely embedded through her womb into the most holiest of holies, and there the seed began to grow in her belly, and when it came out, her soul was exceedingly troubled. She didn't understand. Because when Gabriel, the messenger, he said, this is the promise from the prophetic word of the Creator from the foundation of the world. I will come and I will save my people from their sin. They that have sat in darkness have seen a great light. Miss Borjuian gave birth on the same day to a black and a blonde, white, blue-eyed baby. She admitted she had a white lover and a black lover. She had two seeds within her womb. Now, notice this. On the same day that she had known these two men, out came a superflotation account of a great mystery. In France, it is noted that Miss Duval also gave birth to a white and a black child. And then a 26-year-old Marseilles prostitute, Yvette Lardoux, gave birth. Listen to this now. This is going to really, really, really give you an understanding of what I'm talking about. Gave birth to one white child, one Negro child, and a Chinese child. Medical records are replete with cases of superflotation in humans wherein a woman with multiple ovum is fertilized by sperm or the blood of separate insemination or fathers so that the offspring are not true twins but stepbrothers or stepsisters. True twins result from simultaneous fertilization of one ovum by two sperm by the same father. And in this case, the fraternal twins, as it's known, or in this case, the triplets, one white, one black, and one Chinese, of all things, from this prostitute, a French lady, and she brought forth one white, one black, and one Chinese. And, ladies and gentlemen, these are the accounts of superflotation in humans, and it gives you a biblical account of the conception and birth of Cain and Abel. Wherever that we speak about this in the book of Genesis, we find that there is a continuous war of superflotation of the sons and daughters of Adam, where Satan is trying to defile the offspring where that he can sow his seed into the womb to receive the eternal blessing instead of the eternal curse. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He knows that Yahweh's word is for, if he would have gotten Esau into the blessed pact covenant, if Isaac, who was the son of Yahweh, had given his word as a prophet, and you know that a prophet's word does not fail, just like God's word does not fail, when he speaks it out of his mouth, it's forever settled, and nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away. Did you know that when Eve bared Cain, she made a statement? And ladies and gentlemen, you have to consider this statement because in this case, it was superflotation, and she was she was readily confused about it. She didn't understand the biological aspects or the consequences. The Bible said she was a weaker vessel and she was beguiled or deceived. When she said, I have gotten a man from, F-O-R-M in the English, from Yahweh. Now, she didn't say it belonged to Adam. And most people that says, well, see, Adam knew Eve, and she brought forth Cain, and then she brought forth Abel, and they were sons of Adam. The Bible didn't say that, and neither did Eve say that. What Eve actually said was that she was confused no longer after the fact. When she bared two children, she knew that she had had two lovers. One was accepted in the spirit kingdom and rejected in the physical kingdom. One was accepted in the physical kingdom, the God of this world, and his seed ruling over it, but rejected in the heavenly kingdom. When that seed sperm was placed in the womb of Eve, it was laid upon the holiest of holies, like I say, and rejected straight out. Yahweh didn't have to stutter. He didn't have to mutter. He didn't have to contemplate. He didn't have to think about it. He knew that if that seed had been accepted as an offering back unto himself, that he would forever himself be banned to a second-rate position, and Satan would indeed, as he tried to do here in the book of Isaiah, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will become like the Most High. That was his objective, to place this seed, this blood, from the snake, the serpent, Satan, the beautiful light being, placing his seed in the mother of all living. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Buddy? If you believe that there were other races in the earth before Adam, why does the Bible say that Eve is the mother of all living? Simply because there is two seeds in this superflotation situation that has a chance to be chosen for life. The only seed that is chosen for life is the one that Yahweh accepted, and then he had to reject the other. Yahweh says in Genesis 3:14, I will put enmity between your seed, Satan, and her seed. Or I'll put enmity between your seed, Eve, and the other seed that's in your belly. As he told Rebecca when they warred, and the two seeds warred in her womb, he said there's two manner. That word manner in English is two kinds. Kind after kind. Esau was of the devil, and Jacob was of Yahweh. Oh, it's just marvelous how that you could take the Holy Grail, the blood of the womb of a woman, which is in itself the temple, where you place the offering, and the blood that is carried by the high priest in the typology under the law is the sexual act and the union in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. Once you see the consequences of superflotation, meaning the cause of two different kinds, or in this case that I gave you one, one was a white, one was a Negro, and one was a Chinese. A triple. Ladies and gentlemen, these bloodlines can never inherit with the seed of the free. Oh my. Here we go. Back to Abraham, who had to be circumcised. Now, what does that represent? That means that the covering of the head of the penis had to be uncovered, because the Bible says it's a shame for a man to cover his head when he himself comes into the holiest of holies. that's the great marvel of the circumcision. It is a typology. The head of the penis must be circumcised and uncovered. And in that sense, Yahweh restricted everything that came into the womb or through the veil into the holiest of holies in a sexual union going back to heaven, where there is an electrical discharge of energy that comes from science has never figured out what makes a climax so electrifying to the person that is having that. It's something that mystifies the science. It's just like a little lightning bug that lights up in its little lightning. We call them lightning bugs here in the South. It's a marvelous mystery that's never been duplicated. Science does not know where this electrical discharge comes from within the magnesium, the chemicals that are taken to create a phosphorus light, just like Satan himself when he was flirtation before that he was involved in the act of super flirtation, meaning that he entered uncircumcised, showing you the disrespect that Satan had for the master builder. And therefore Yahweh introduced a circumcision to reduce the odds of Satan and his children ever coming into a sexual act of a union with one of his daughters, so that they could get the anointing through the genetic bloodline accepted in the holiest of holies. You see what I'm talking about? In this superflutation of the seeds, Yahweh examines each one very carefully, and each one must abide by the biblical principles and the regulations. See, keep my charge and my ordinances and my commandments. And we know that it's a shame for a man to cover his head. Well, in the same sense, it's a shame for a woman to uncover her head, except in the presence of her husband. When she goes before Yahweh in prayer, she is to cover her head. When a man goes before the holiest of holies in the act of union, he is to uncover his head, which is the sign of circumcision, like I said. And this covenant was an eight-day circumcision, which is regulated to the global system of a universal acceptance of a holy day created by Yahweh in a series of eight. It was the eighth day that Abraham was circumcised. And people say, well, now, starting from what? Well, that's the key to this thing. Starting from the new moon, if you work 6 days after the new moon, you're not to work on the new moon. The new moon is a dark moon. Ah, it is the veil of darkness. Did you know a woman's menstrual cycle is geared to the lunar applications? Ladies and gentlemen, these things have more spiritual consequences than you'd ever dreamed of. When you keep Sabbath in a rotation of eight, you're in the lunar cycle. You're in the presence of Yahweh. And by being circumcised on the eighth day, we know good and well that the Messiah himself was zealously guarded. Yahweh had to protect the child. He had to guard the child because Satan, in the physical form of the evil king Herod, sought to kill the child. Although he, as king, said, I want to go worship him. Knowing that it was murder in his heart, he was a seed of Cain, and that same system, ladies and gentlemen, that same one, that same murderer that appeared before Yahweh, uncircumcised, listen to me now, well, without the blood of the Lamb, brought a device, if you will, something that he had done, something that he had made with his hands, and therefore Yahweh loved the blood covering because it was blood that defiled the Most Holy, as Satan uncircumcised had sex with Eve in the garden, daring not to show respect to the higher one, the Creator, entered into her uncircumcised. Satan has never been circumcised, and I can read it to you in the Bible that the root of the serpent shall one day not only be circumcised, it will be cut off, according to the book of Isaiah, right here where I'm reading. Now, for the sake of time, let me go over to the book of Ezekiel, as I'm trying to cover this in a short time, and I'm going to start in the 28th chapter, and I'm going to read you what Satan, what the Bible says, it says about Satan here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28. Thou art, now verse 13 says, thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. Talking about Lucifer, Satan. You were in the garden. Now we place the suspect here that entered the holiest of holies, uncircumcised, and covered. He was against the laws of Yahweh. You see, that's why that the sacrifice could not be accepted, because it was in defilement, because Satan himself was trying to get his blood as a covering, as opposed to the covering and the blood of Christ. You see the difference? Ladies and gentlemen, if you had have been covered by the blood of Satan, which regulates the flesh man, so to speak, it's a uncircumcised covering that will not be accepted. It was rejected. We know that Isaac, when he was born, that Abraham instituted the covenant of circumcision to Ishmael. Now, Ishmael was his firstborn through his wife Hagar. And we know also that when Isaac came, he was circumcised. Now we have two circumcised, one of the children of the bondwoman and one of the children of the free woman. Now, which one was chosen? The Jerusalem above is free, Paul said. But the Jerusalem below, where people worship, is the bond. And ladies and gentlemen, if you ever get free of this evil system that is set up to deceive you, to make you think that the Jews are God's chosen people, when in reality they are not, they're liars, as it is noted in Revelation 3 and in Revelation 2, where Yahweh imposed the penalty of lying, and that is the serpent seed. Now, not all of those who are called Jews are Jews. And it's not all Jews that are Jews that are evil. There is a very, very perilous thin line between the two. And we're going to start a series. Right after this series, I'm going back to the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis to show you how the serpent, the devil, the uncircumcised one, was still mastering sexual reunions and unions of superfluctation, of sowing his seed, the uncircumcised seed, in the womb of Yahweh's daughters. Oh, Satan has always lusted for the daughters of Eve. He lusted for Eve, and he hasn't quit lusting, and neither has his seed, who lusts for the daughters of Adam and Eve. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to show you how the serpent placed his seed line into the holy seed of the 12 tribes of Israel. We're going to show you expressively which one he used to master the greatest heist in the history of mankind when he himself stole his way into the temple of the Most Holy, and he did it in reverse form. He took a seed of Adam and a seed of Jacob, and then he brought a beautiful woman from the offspring of the union between Satan and Cain. He brought one of Cain's daughters and placed her at a place, and it was by divine providence that Satan knew that if he could get his bloodline once again introduced into the holiest of holies, although he knew that it would be rejected again as it was, but then he could have everyone worshiping him on the mount of the congregation, thinking that they were doing God or Yahweh a service. Through deception and through deceit, Satan is destroying the nations of Israel, the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, we're going to get into the depth of that and the comprehension and the understanding to show you how the continuous superflotation of Satan never stops. The history of the enmity that was placed between the two seed and foreshadows the promised seed even up until the time of Christ, when he was born through a woman without sin. But he was made in likeness of sinful flesh. He took a flesh body without sin. And he's the only one in the entire universe that can proclaim he was without sin. But did you know that Satan's seed tried to make him a sinner? And he said, which one of you convinces me? Ladies and gentlemen, it's an act of faith, and we're going to get into those marvelous mysteries in part two. Now, I've got to close tonight, and I've got to bring this into a close real quick. I wanted to get to Ezekiel 31 just as fast as I can. It says, in the day that you were created, you are the anointed cherub, verse 14 of Ezekiel 28, that covereth. I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. You walked upon and down. He walked. See, a serpent can't walk. He don't have legs. Well, and see, it shows you that a serpent and its ability. The reptile species on earth is one of the oldest species on the earth. We know that. From the reptiles that we have today, started out as dragon with feet and hands. So there is an evolutionary digression of these reptiles down to the point now that they're on their belly. These are symbols and types. But what we're trying to type into Satan is he was very crafty, just like a snake. Thou walked up and down. You were in the garden of God. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found within you. Verse 15. By the multitude of your merchandise. Now, you know that the children of Satan today are if you want to know in the garment industry, if you want to know who runs the garment industry and controls all of the coverings that goes upon mankind's back, if you will, is controlled by Satan's seed. If you want to know the precious stones that we wear, and the diamonds and the metals and the thing, if you want to know who controls all that, it's the seed of Cain. And need I say any more? All right. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane. Now, this is the time where he's going to set a fire in the mist that I told you about in the Gestalt that I laid in the very beginning, that there's going to be a fire in Babylon. It's going to start, and ladies and gentlemen, glory be to Yahweh, it looks like that Babylon is fixing to fall. And may the fall of Babylon be great. May it be in one day and one hour that we regain our liberty and our independence and our knowledge, that our eyes could be opened up and sleep would vanish, as it's recorded in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, that sleep has been imparted to Israel for a season. May we wake up. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones. Thy heart was lifted up because and corrupted because your wisdom, the serpent, by beauty and your brightness, Lucifer, the phosphorus one. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled, here it is, and I got to close it, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I just wish I could go on it. Thou hast defiled the sanctuary by the multitude of thine iniquities. And I just told you how he violated the sanctuary, the holiest of holies, which was the womb of Eve, in a titan shadow. And Yahweh used the law to Moses to teach these principles. And if you can see it tonight and understand it, blessed are your eyes for they see, and for your ears, if you've heard Pastor Buddy's message tonight on the five-set series of PMS. If you'd like to have it, you can just call me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. And leave me a message if you'd like to call me tonight here at Hallelujah Acres. It's 1-423-338-1972. And I'm live right here on this Wednesday night. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. And call him up and tell him next week. The office is closed this week, but call him up next week and tell him you're here, Pastor Buddy. We need your help. We need your support. And we'd love to have you in here to do that for us tonight. Yahweh's richest blessings be to you. If you'd like to go to our website, we have a lot of these articles there on the website. If you'd like to go to our website tonight, that's oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh, oneyahweh.com. If you'd like to correspond with us, like I say, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. And I love all of you, and my best wishes to all of you who have supported us down through the years. Dr. Gary and I were talking. It's been several years that we've been on the radio live, and we have messages. Brother Bob has worked feverishly and dedicated himself, as Dr. Gary and others that support me. I have my own people that support me, that I don't have to work, and I can take the liberty and the time to pray and to fast and to seek Yahweh and to think upon him. And those are the people that tithe to me. They're the individual tithers that tithe to me to help me and defray my expense. So, Brother Bob, our webmaster tonight on oneyahweh.com, if you'd like to go there, you will get this entire series posted in time. This broadcast tonight, Yahweh willing, will be posted sometime tomorrow. And you can listen to it by going up to oneyahweh.com and tuning in to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. And we have many articles. We have all kinds of articles written about these things that I've talked about tonight. And the teachings of the messages are up there hour after hour after hour. We're also broadcasting live on live. mainstream internet. If you want to just work on your computer or go around the house, you can turn your computer on and you can play the messages 24/7 nonstop by going up to our live simulcasting live web internet, and you can download us there. Praise Yahweh. If you need directions, well, I can refer you to our webmaster, Brother Bob, down in the great state of Arkansas. And tonight, we'd like to send racial covenant greetings to everyone in every state that's listening to Pastor Buddy tonight. I really appreciate you. I'd like to hear from you. If you'd sit down and write me a card or a letter and tell me that you're listening and you're encouraged by the message, I would really love to hear you. We need you. We walk on faith. And so we'd love to hear from you. Let us know you're out there. And we do appreciate our sponsors and our supporters tithe and offering to the Shepherd's Call to Pastor Buddy. Yahweh bless you. And I'll see you Friday night around the world on live WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel South, where we're also assigned the guest tonight on Worldwide Internet. That's WWRB. It is the master class of shortwave today, far and beyond all of the rest. It's a worldwide shortwave internet connection. You can hear us around the world by supporting WWRB 3.185. I'll see you Friday night, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Central, and may the blessings of Yahweh be upon you. And I love you very much.